you very much. Well, it's good that I am in between the great presentation by Dr. Braverman, and you are still fascinated by that, and then you will go into the great presentation by Dr. David. So my fumbling won't last long, and it won't linger that long on your minds. Okay, well, again, Office of Minority Health, we decided to work on the issue of infant mortality, particularly in the African American community. You heard a lot of it from Dr. Braverman and what the situation is. All of you are aware of that. So I am going to just speak to a program that we have developed that we believe addresses the problem of infant mortality from the perspective, or literally from the life course perspective, from the view of this problem of infant mortality does not start when women get pregnant. It starts much younger, probably before they themselves were born, and it has to do with much more than prenatal care and doctor visits. And again, I think it's perfect. I was perfectly set up by Dr. Braverman's presentation. Well, nothing to this class. Somebody yesterday in a presentation said, I am not smart enough to have something to this class yet. So these are just some of the headlines on infant mortality, and you are all familiar with them. I won't take long on those, but what is astounding is that we can keep having those same headlines, and it's like, okay, at what point those headlines change? And these are rates and in some of the cities, and we have been going to several of those cities. These are obviously the rates for the African American community. We have been going to several of those cities with our programs, our campaign, etc. A Healthy Baby Begins With You is the name of the campaign. It was an infant mortality awareness campaign, and we have a great spokesperson, and some of you may be familiar with our program, and particularly with her. And we were, you know, going from city to city with our traveling circuits and putting something together and, you know, giving some spotlight to the people working in the community and infant mortality for years. And they would always say, oh, thank you for coming, because now the media, because all of a sudden we would get media attention, oh, now the media is coming, and we have been working on this for so long, etc. And of course, that was good, and that was the intention. On the other hand, you really want to punch the media on the face for that, but that, I guess, won't solve the problem. Okay, so our goals, basically, to increase infant mortality awareness and target the 18 plus population. We started in 2007. Does that year say something to you? There was a different administration, so we were going to the population that we can reach without parental consent. And so that's why we started 18 and older. But we know that we needed to go much younger, right? Engage minority serving institutions, develop public private partnerships, and then we start the preconception peer educators program, because in our going from city to city, what we discovered was everybody was pumped up by the attention, by the fact that the media was also paying attention, etc. But you know, a big health fair, etc., is a passing thing. You need something that is sustained, that you could do from year to year, etc. So we were scratching our head, okay, what can we do? And also, what can we do with the young, since we know that that's where the rubber meets the road. Also, the science was saying, okay, now we got not by any means where we want to be, but we are somewhat okay now on prenatal care. Somewhat okay, I am not saying perfect by any means, but better. But the gap is not closing. The gap in infant mortality disparities is not closing, despite the fact that we have much better prenatal care. So preconception is where the problem is. And that's where we started to focus. And we came up with the program and the peer education rationale. I am going to rush through these things because you are all much smarter than me and know all of this. And preconception health, a window of opportunity, and I guess, again, many of you know why all of this is important and when, why we, if we work on preconception health, we may be able to stem the tide, to get them really early and set the stage for a better circumstance going forward. So the goals of the Peer Educators program is target college age population, enlist college students and peer educators on their campus and in their community, disseminate key preconception health and care messages. And reproductive life plan, and we put a lot of emphasis on this because it's one of the goals of the CDC, and it's important, and because it has become a good tool to talk to them, to the students. Okay, so you have a plan for everything else in your life. However, your reproductive health is this big thing here in the middle that really can mess up all of your other plans, and that you, why don't you plan for that the way you plan for everything else in your life? So it's kind of something that is, it gives us a tool to speak to why we need to think about those things. And remember, we are talking about literally, one of our our brochures is called, Did You Know That Sex Causes Pregnancy? And yeah, you see, you laugh. And of course, the point is for people to laugh and to grab it, right? But it did not, it came up like that because when we were in our initial trainings, one of the colleges said, well, yeah, but who is thinking about pregnancy when you're having sex? Unless you are actually trying to get pregnant, right? And I normally give this talk and blah, 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 explain the program, and I joke with them. I say, okay, so, but you are thinking about STIs. And do you know the mechanism for that is the same as the mechanism for the pregnancy? So how do, and I know, I mean, no need to bother you with all of that, but my point is, literally what we realize is the connection. And that may explain why 50% of pregnancies are unplanned. And in socialist Europe, that number is much lower. But the connection between having sex actually causes pregnancy is less obvious than we may think, as silly as it may seem to you. And obviously, when you tell them, they think about it, but that's not what they are thinking at the time that it really would be good for them to think about that. So key concepts of the training, health disparities, infant mortality, minority community health status and its impact on infant health, preconception health, infant mortality and prematurity, preconception care, in particular HIV, AIDS, STIs, etc. And the role of men, which is a big piece. Okay, so pilot size, etc. Again, we like to think of ourselves as working towards CDC goals and recommendation, in particular, improve the knowledge and attitudes and behaviors of men and women related to preconception health and reduce disparities. CDC goals, individual responsibility across the lifespan. That's, these two are, I guess, the main things with our main, I mean, if we manage this, we feel very good at the end of the day and sleep very well. The life course perspective, and you are all very familiar, and that is kind of what guides our work, particularly thinking that we are really going younger now. We are going middle school right now. We have a middle school in Memphis that actually is in the zip code with the highest infant mortality rate and in the nation, and they are actually working. We train them, they are peer educators now. Middle school, did I say middle school? Okay, they are peer educators now. They are writing a book, they go to their own schools, they advertise, we get a newsletter from them. They are doing all of this work, but it was an amazing thing because in that school, all of a sudden, they had in each classroom, what, 15 kids who had lost a sibling to infant mortality, which has two It has two potential issues. One, normalizing the situation, because all of a sudden you, okay, so the fact that I have lost my sibling only means that siblings die, right? But on the other hand, in this case, it managed to have the opposite effect. It managed to galvanize and to awaken them to the fact that, no, siblings don't have to die, and this is, doesn't have to happen like this, and they are working on this. Again, young kids. You know, you are all familiar with the life course perspective, so, I mean, disparities in birth outcomes are consequence of differential development trajectories, etc. And again, this Dr. Braveman kind of hit it on the head with her presentation, so I won't go into all of that. But basically, our main idea is, again, this doesn't start during the 9 months. Sadly, most of them don't even get to the 9 months either. Prematurity, as you know, is a big problem. But also, it doesn't start in the, and the problems cannot be fixed during those 9 months. So we have to get to the pregnancy in much better shape than we are getting to pregnancy now. And that's the main message we are giving the students. And we work, some of the accomplishments. We start to move into regional trainings. Today we have more than 35 colleges and universities participating in the program. In all of those states, 450 students have been trained. Actually, the number may have gone up after the LA training, and we are going to New York next week. I mean, this week, and the staff reminded me that, and to North Carolina the following week. So those numbers will go up. And we had the Knowledge Higher Service first College to Community Health Outreach Week in Memphis, Tennessee. And we kind of created that as a model so that to create something that the students could use to continue their work on their own campuses, et cetera. And I don't know if you are familiar with the documentary that we produce, Crisis in the Crib, and it is on our website, but also we can mail copies to you free of charge. That's why your tax dollars are for. The implementation, some lessons learned from the pilot, and I want to get to something, so I'm gonna rush because she's threatening with the cards. So, I can't send the presentation to you, but I really, we have just concluded the first phase of our evaluation study, and basically designed to identify the key behavioral indicators for the next phases of the program, as well as for the evaluation efforts, monitor, evaluate the results in the innovator group, continue to monitor and analyze other process, media, and progress indicators, et cetera. And the results are under embargo, and I just put a few of them, but that's what I want to discuss. Some of them won't be there. I will discuss verbally, and you won't tell anybody. The content of the training, the curriculum, is appropriate and well-received. The high level of message retention on key concepts, specific preconception health behavior were identified and will be tested, a big element. The way racism is covering our training, and we are now in our current trainings, we have fixed that, and actually Dr. Tian Parker actually is helping, is one of our speakers actually on this. The way the racism is covered can lead to hopelessness. Ironically, the students could clearly see it, could identify, but felt like if the problem is racism, we don't have a prayer, I mean, then just let's give up. So we really have to work towards improving, and I know that even social determinants become such a big thing that you feel like, okay, never mind then, because if we have to change the world before we can change a health outcome, then it's impossible. So it becomes a problem. Before I get to the next step, let me just share with you couple of other things. Well, most preconception peer educators are female, African Americans, 20 years of or older. Only 27% are graduate students, so most of them are undergrads. They equally trust parents and healthcare providers when making healthcare decisions, yet more trust healthcare providers than parents. And more, meaning 45% compared to 28%, to stay healthy during pregnancy and to get advice. And this is an important thing for clinicians here. The main thing that we, one of the main results from the study is that when they go to the doctor now that they are well-informed consumers of healthcare, the doctors, when they say the word preconception health, after turning blue, the doctors say, okay, do you need the pill? So basically, I'm simplifying, but this is actually a finding we really are right now trying to design something to educate the providers to be able to answer this need, because what the situation is, we are telling them, okay, so you need to think about all of this and think ahead of time, blah, 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 blah. And then they go to the providers and the provider are like, and why are you in a rush for that since you are not pregnant yet? So, and really, we are actually now talking to ACOG and we are really designing that. But I really think this is an important piece of data that we have now that we really want to work on. And, sorry, the program. Let me see what I can share really fast. Significant message retention, recall, and short-term awareness gains on pretty much almost all topics. And let me get one more thing that I will mention before. Anyway. Okay, some implications for future program training sessions. Discussion of racism within context of strategies to overcome chronic stress, encourage social change. Audience-specific intervention to involve men and healthcare providers, as I just mentioned. Increased focus on program implementation that we have already corrected or improved. Topics complexity call for further reiteration of core messages to increase homogeneity of message recall and potential for increased role of mass media, new media-based intervention, etc. So, and the conclusions at this point are clear. The findings, you know, have contributed to understanding of PPE's needs, priorities, experience, and current preconception health behaviors, establish the importance of continuous involvement of the PPEs in the program assessment and feedback, and provide insights on progress and obstacles to preconception health behaviors within the innovators group. Those are, right now, our main findings that I can actually share. And then we are now working, as I said, regional trainings in several states. And the next step is, this is a very good one, we are working to use the innovative communication technology for health of young African American women, which is avatar type thing. That is an amazing program, and we really are very excited with the possibilities of this, and we are having a training in Boston in February. And that's it, and that's our information, and if you have any questions, I'm sure afterwards. Thank you.